This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Today might be the day. I don't know when we get to it on the calendar, but there's a day like where you have the most sunlight you're going to see at this time of day, and then it starts to head back the other direction. It's a really short window when it's this light out when we begin the program. Doesn't happen all that often. A few days a year.
I think that day that you're talking about might have happened like last week.
Look at it right now.
Oh, I know. There was a day I came in. It was might as well have been 11 a.m.
All I know from all the years of doing this, just anecdotally, is it is a very short window. It's here and then it's gone. So enjoy it while you can. Man, do we have a lot to get to here on this action. That was weird.
What was that?
It sounded like a crypt, didn't it?
Yeah. You're opening a casket on Tales from the Crypt.
I'm not quite sure, to be honest with you. Maybe that's the explanation for that little screw I found on Friday. Anywho, we have a ton to get to. And man, is it nice to start with all this bright sunshine. So good morning and welcome. We had an action-packed weekend full of fun. There's another big week ahead. Graduations everywhere. Congratulations, by the way, to everyone out there. I know that all the local high schools have different days. Our graduation is technically this Saturday. They're doing MacArthur at 11 and Eisenhower High School at 2. We have a graduation party Friday night. It's just full of it. Richland was Friday night at the Decatur Civic Center. It was packed. I mean, when I say packed, I mean there were just a ton of people. The biggest class they've had since 2018, you know, going back to sort of pre-COVID, and a lot of family members, the parking. I feel like I should give this public tip, but I don't want to give the public tip because if I do, then everyone will use it. There are parking spots on the side of 51 next to the Decatur Civic Center.
For sure.
I'm not sure everyone knows that.
Oh, okay.
There's only like 10. But if you want to avoid the traffic jam that becomes the Decatur Civic Center parking lot, it is the best parking in town.
No doubt about that.
If you swing in there, park, and then you can get right out onto 51 like, and not have to deal. I mean, I was actually surprised at how many people were there on Friday night.
That's my go-to move.
Yeah. Kevin Brahaney, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, Brian. How are you doing? Congratulations on, I saw you were the keynote speaker at that event. You look really... academic in your regalia.
Well, there's nothing quite like a college graduation to bring out the regalia.
Right. It is kind of neat, though, the processions. Boy, I'll tell you, Richland Community College, what a jewel it has become in this community. To look at that graduating class was impressive. That was a big class.
You know, it was amazing to me to be able to see and talk to all the people. There were like three kids from Cerro Gordo that were there Friday night that got their two-year associate's degree before they got their high school degree.
That's hilarious.
Huh?
That's hilarious.
It's amazing. They had not yet had their high school graduation, and so they walked across the stage, as college graduates before even receiving their high school diploma.
I've never heard of that before. That's ambitious.
Well, it is. And with the Prep Academy that District 61 is now instituted with Richland, there will be more and more and more of that. These ambitious kids, you think about, you're 18 years old. you're going to graduate from high school with a two-year degree all ready to go.
Also with a fiscal mind, I mean, that is a very efficient way to get through 2 years of college, because college these days costs so much money. For them to have that all out of the way at the same time they're graduating from high school,
yeah.
What smart kids.
No doubt about it. So a lot of great stories. And I wanted to take just a couple of seconds to thank all the folks, Dr. Chris Aldez, clearly. MacArthur High School Band, Nick, were there doing all the live music. So they got to do, all the Animal House soundtrack.
So they had a gig.
I know. I was walking in. There's all of this pomp and circumstance and prestige. I'm walking in. They had us all lined up outside in the kind of like the Thanksgiving lunch, if you've ever been up on the dais. And Dr. Tina Zindel was like getting everybody, in particular order. And when we were walking into the arena, the Civic Center, you know, they're playing that procession song. And I turned to Dr. Z and I said, is it okay that this just always will always forever just remind me of Animal House? I mean, you know, and he said, of course it's okay. I thought, okay, good. Because, you know, they're very academic. I mean, they got the regalia is, Dr. Valdez was telling me what his gown cost like 10 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Hey, what was the theme of your message?
Well, hang on a second. I had a whole setup here I was going to do before we get to that. But I wanted to take just a couple of seconds from Dr. Z and Dr. Valdez and Julie Melton and Dr. Cruz and all the people who were involved in this. It was a big effort. And they had the Civic Center look great. I've never understood, like, if you go to the Thanksgiving luncheon, right? It's all backwards. Like, you walk in and you got to walk around and turn around to see everything. They had everything against the far bleachers. Against,
oh, the far,
so when you walked in, you got the entire scene of what it looked like. And they had 200 plus graduates there that night. There was something like 300 and something total graduates in the class of 2022, 200 plus in attendance. But then they had those sections like right in the center, you know, roped off. And then there must have been 1,200 or so people, maybe even more than that. I think Dr. Valdez said they'd seen 1,000, added 1,200. I mean, it was the family members and you know, friends and associates.
So they didn't use the bleachers?
No, they didn't. They had the whole entire floor. I mean, absolutely. You can imagine like what it looks like at the Thanksgiving luncheon, but no tables, just chairs. It was packed.
Yeah, it's the opposite of the way Milliken does it. Because they use the bleachers and they have the chairs as well. But this way, everybody has a chair.
Yeah, but I love the fact that you got to walk in. I mean, as soon as you walked in, you could see the whole scope of the thing. It was the best layout I've seen at the Civic Center by far.
Sounds cool.
Yeah. So anyway, there were a lot of great people participating. And I wanted to take a minute to thank. Remember, Rhiannon Hartman was in the studios with us last week. She was the student class speaker. She did a great job.
Oh, awesome.
And I could tell when she walked up, you know, we were sitting on the stage, not all that far from her, that she was incredibly nervous. Like, you can sort of see, you know, just the visible nervousness of people, you know, like they're just, you know, man, I'm getting up in front of my practices. I've written this. I've probably, you know, read it into a mirror or whatever. And then you walk in and there's all these people. That's a hard thing to do.
You know, in watching graduations, I found there are three walks to a speech on graduation stage. There's the completely nervous, completely ready, and the unaware that this is a really important thing, and you're just going to say what you're going to say.
Yeah, that's probably right. But when she walked up there, I thought, oh my God, she looks nervous. And then she got to the microphone and she did just a fantastic job and knocked it out of the park. And I mean, what are the expectation levels? You've done this at Quincy University. You've done this at Milliken University. You're asked to give the keynote address. And the keynote address is one of the last things that happens before the actual, you know, when you move the tassel over to the other side and you get to celebrate, right?
Right.
And that's what it's an honor. Everyone is there to do, though.
It's a true honor to be asked to do.
Yes,
that.
But you also don't want to be in the way.
No. I told you one of the guys I was going to honor in one of my speeches was at a dinner the night before, and I saw him. He came up to my table. He was the head of our business school when I was there. They was Dr. Maglieri. He says, Brahaney, I hear you're giving a talk tomorrow. I go, yes, sir. He says, keep it short.
Well, see, he knew you well.
I think in general, people want you to keep it short, but I think you have a responsibility to the kids, and only to the kids, to deliver what you were saying, Nick, is something really important to them. And I always went to, if I knew then what I know now, I wish someone would have told me this. And that was always my theme, is I'm going to tell you what you should know so you don't have to go through this huge learning curve.
All right. I always stick to the Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers philosophy of don't bore us, get to the chorus, right, in life, because they're not there to see you. Bishop Dunning was there, Reverend Carson, you know, those guys are, you know, very eloquent speakers, but, you know, the religious guys tend to go on and on and on and on. The idea is, like, get up there and deliver something around 5 minutes in length, right?
Yeah, you follow
what
up.
Was
the jam band?
What was that look?
I never subscribed to that rule. 5 minutes.
Yes.
Well, okay. I think
how long was yours?
Oh, I think about 25.
Oh my God.
Oh, it probably wasn't, but it was a lot more than five. It had to be at least 15. Nope. I had a lot to tell them.
First of all, there were some set rules. You know, they asked to keep the speech at about 5 minutes, and I didn't want to do a lot of things, although I did some, which I think drove the person who was doing the sign language, because I think she was working from the prepared script, and it's hard for me to just read off of paper.
Well, you do a great job.
Hours a day, 5 days a week for 25 years. It's hard for me just to go, and we go now to the page.
Well, you say that, but I've seen you deliver speeches like that a number of times where you've pre-planned them. And they're as good as when you're on the radio, if not better, because you're really eloquent and you really know what you have to say. And when you put it on paper, it's even better than when you ad-lib. And I'd rather you ad-lib.
I don't remember doing a lot of on paper speeches in my life. I know the Thanksgiving luncheon was one only because it was
Partners in Education.
That's true. Partners in Education. I forgot about that. The whole Thanksgiving luncheon was after September 11th. It was in 2001, and it sort of felt way different, than your normal ordinary speech. So. Friday night, a great honor just to be invited and to be able to participate. There was so much energy. There's an entire photo gallery on our Facebook page. You know, decorating the hats, you know, the mortars, whatever they're called, I don't know how new that is, but it cracked me up. There's some very funny ones you can see in the photos on an Out of Kidder Facebook page.
That's the part that's missed by the bleachers. Because you would put stuff on your hats for the people up in the nosebleeds, and they could see your little symbols and your words and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Some did underneath, but it was fun to put stuff on top.
Yeah, there was a lot of funny and poignant and inspirational. Anyway, all kinds of photos of just happy, happy people and their families on Friday night. My message was about breaking down barriers and defining a new generation of leadership, and that the fact that we often talk about information and knowledge being passed down, where I believe truly in life where we improve is where information is passed up. I talked about I read a transcript. Bono, the singer of U2, did a commencement speech at University of Pennsylvania, I believe. And we have a poet, Brendan. Are you into Irish poetry?
Certainly not.
Okay. Thank you.
Why not?
Brendan.
Never come across it.
I know. Brendan Kennelly is a poet that I enjoy a great deal, as does Bono. And when I saw him do this speech, I thought, oh, all right, I've got to touch on this. And he has a poem called The Book of Judas, where he writes, if you want to serve the age, betray it. And the breakdown that Bono gave about the betraying is that all generations have massive moral blind spots. And you don't see them, but your kids see them. And it's how we improve as people. You know, you think about stuff your grandparents would say and you cringe, or your great-grandparents, and how future generations see the blind spots that we have. I think that's absolutely true.
Yeah, Bono, I think he's over in Ukraine now singing. Yeah. I mean, he's socially aware of his reality around him, and he puts it in his music. Like him or not, the guy's out there trying.
The poet and his message about the blind spots. I mean, I just think we always put the emphasis on, you know, knowledge being passed down, when I think new generations actually push knowledge up. And you know, what your grandparents couldn't see, what your parents couldn't see that you see, and even those kids sitting there Friday night, their children will eventually see theirs. And that's how life sort of evolves and gets better. You know, the way we had beliefs in this country that's hard to imagine, you know, today, with past generations. And then also, my good buddy, John Bates, who literally trains astronauts with NASA. You know, he is a mental coach, a life coach. And he described to me, after I read one of his pieces on LinkedIn about the overview effect, and I think we've talked about this here on the show before. There's only like 600 people in the history of mankind that have gotten to experience this, and that is viewing the Earth from deep space, and how small it looks, and how there aren't any lines, and there's no geography, and there's no towns or countries or ideologies or politics. They just get to see the Earth at about this big, and they come back cognitively changed from that experience.
Right. I've always said that, especially when we were in the big Cold War against Russia, and now here we are again, that a lot of those conflicts could get resolved if we ever got invaded by an alien, because now we got bigger problems, and we took for granted all the things we could have accomplished
yep.
until that happened.
That's exactly right. And then just the mission in life, that their responsibility, you know, it's now theirs. They're legit like leaders right now. And so anyway, it was a fun night and a great night. There's a lot of great photos, had a lot of fun, very inspired by all of those people in that audience with all the different stories. It's the one thing you love about a community college is you can see all ages and all backgrounds and a very diverse class and just a lot of excited people. It was hard not to come home Friday night just sort of going, wow, very excited for the future.
Was that Friday or Saturday?
Friday night.
Yeah, on Saturday, I went to, you know, graduation as well at St. Teresa, and there was energy, just to share with what you were feeling. I watched a guy shoot up out of a chair. He was so excited, literally shoot up out of a chair during the clapping portion for the graduates because the energy was just so, you're just, everybody's marching, you're going.
Right, not to mention that these folks have done this in situation that we haven't seen in 100 years, meaning a 2-year pandemic and virtual learning and missing all of the in-person experiences, even personal loss, you know, to families, pretty remarkable thing. So
congratulations.
Well, listen, this was all about those folks sitting in those rows with the blue gowns and hats, ready to take on life or go to wherever it is they go next.
You know why the Irish become so philosophical and great writers of music and poetry?
We drink too much, yes.
Yes, after a couple of Guinnesses, you get very philosophical and wiser, smarter, funnier.
Yeah. I mean, the Irish say God created alcohol to keep them from running the world.
Exactly right. I think there's some truth.
It could be. All right, so to the 49th, can you believe that? 49th commencement of graduating class of Richland Community College. 49 years.
When I came to Decatur in 78, which was 4 years ago, Richland Community College was right there with Busey's.
In a bank vault.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I took a real estate class.
And then they moved out to, what was it? Is it Park 101?
Park 101.
Right. And they were there for years before breaking ground and building what they have now. And if you go back and you think about the history of that, it's pretty impressive to see where they are today.
You know, I knew none of that.
What do you mean you
knew? What you guys just said.
You didn't know where Richland started?
It was
started?
Always that. When I was a kid, it was just that okay building out where it's at that is now an impressive campus.
I'm gonna throw back on you this a little bit. How many years difference between you and me?
Like 14.
Okay, no. They've been out there more than 14 years, so it's not been your whole life.
He's a toddler though.
Yeah. Wait. When did they move out there?
I don't know the exact date, but I think it's been longer than 14 years.
Oh yeah, they probably late 80s.
Yeah.
I'm saying I never I only know it out there is what I'm saying. I didn't know they were downtown. I didn't know.
Well, downtown would have been before you.
Yeah.
Park 101, they were out there for a number of years, but probably not as many as you would remember.
That was a temporary.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, it was Joan Wolfe and Howard Brown. They were the visionaries of getting Richland where it's at today.
Howard
and
Brown
there was a lot of pushback.
What do you mean pushback?
There are a lot of people that didn't want to spend that kind of money on a community college, but those two ramrodded it through.
Tax-wise, you mean?
Tax-wise, just some people stand in the way of progress because they think it's going to be too expensive. And community college didn't
mean
that.
Yes, they do. Some people stand in the way of everything that ends up being great.
Or try to.
They just can't help themselves. We had a council member that described the Devon Lakeshore Amphitheater as a pipe dream.
Yeah. Oh, right. Were they wrong?
Council members that say, oh, sure, you know, if you're St. Louis, you deserve. I mean, we've had over the years countless people who just want to be the contrarian or Mr. No or Mrs. No.
Do you sense that sometimes they become that way when they're in that position for a period of time, that they look at the reasons why you shouldn't do something as opposed to why you should?
I think that they derive their importance by being able to stand out from the group. And every TV story, every newspaper story, every media story of every council, school board, whatever it is, will always go to the guy who wants to give you the negative quote. And they derive their empowerment from that.
I think it's because it's so much easier to say no than it is to say yes. Yes means work.
I have watched people over the years, and I'm not saying that everything is universal with every single person, but the no people, the people who get their personality from doing that, they love it because they're going to show up, their quote's going to be in the paper, their clip is going to be on TV, because if it's a 6-1 vote all day, they're not going to give you all the six yeses, they're going to give you the one yes, and they're going to give you the one no. So the 6-1 guy learns early on, that is my key to being out there.
Well, I agree that
it's sad.
I don't.
It's pathetic.
I've been on so many boards,
but that is the personality because they can't wait to stand into the camera and tell you why they're a no. All right, we've got to take a bottom of the hour break. When we get back here, we'll get a preview of tonight's Soy City Buzz. The mayor will be with us a little bit later in the show. A lot to get to. Stay tuned.
This is RJ Crace with your stories now. The Decatur Police Department says it's stepping up enforcement for the Memorial Day Click It or Ticket campaign now through May 31st. Wearing a seatbelt can reduce the risk of fatal injury by 45%. While Illinois currently has a 93.5% seatbelt use compliance rate, unbelted occupants still account for more than half of those killed in motor vehicle crashes. Red Cross volunteers and the Decatur Fire Department installed free smoke alarms for local families this weekend. This was part of a Sound the Alarm event in Decatur. The effort was part of an initiative to install 50,000 free smoke alarms in more than 50 communities across the country this month. Richland held its 49th commencement ceremony over the weekend. More than 300 graduates were honored and over 200 took part in the ceremony at the Civic Center. To see some photos from the ceremony and more stories, podcasts, and videos, go to nowdecatur.com.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. The 10 people shot and killed and 3 wounded Saturday at a supermarket in Buffalo, New York, are identified by police. 11 were black, 2 white, 9 customers, 4 employees. All but one over 50 years old.
FBI agents searching the suspect's home and speaking with his parents yesterday. Police say 18-year-old Peyton Gendron, who faces first-degree murder charges, posted a white supremacist manifesto just days before the shooting. The DOJ is investigating the attack as a hate crime and as racially motivated extremism.
Fox's Jackie Ibanez. Parishioners at a church in Laguna Woods, California, subdued and hogtied with an extension cord a man who'd shot and killed one person, wounding 4 there.
It's safe to say that had people not intervened, it could have been much worse. There was 30 to 40 people inside the church.
Orange County Undersheriff Jeff Howlick. No word on a motive for that shooting. This is a Taiwanese congregation that shares the church. The suspect is described as an Asian man in his 60s. America's listening to Fox News.
Politician Darren Bailey calls himself a conservative, swears he's a believer, but look closely at his record. Bailey's a deceiver, the textbook definition of a dishonest politician hiding his record. For instance, Bailey was caught on tape admitting he voted for Joe Biden. In his own words, listen.
I might have voted for Biden.
Biden for president?
I might have voted for Biden.
What kind of conservative votes for Joe Biden? The fake kind, Darren the deceiver. But Bailey's a believer when it comes to one thing, property tax hikes. voted 13 times to raise property taxes, increasing 81%, even higher than Chicago. Jesse Sullivan's no better. Claims to be conservative, yet Sullivan backed Obama for president. His campaign's propped up by Pritzker Democrats, just like Bailey's. Sullivan even founded a group pushing open borders and amnesty for illegals. Sullivan and Bailey, not true conservatives, no matter what they say. Paid for by Urban for Illinois.
Bring it on. It's the Green Tag Sales Event going on now at Sloan's. Now get 4.9% for 60 months on John Deere Z300s and 500s. Or your plus size deal gets you 0.9% for 36 months on John Deere Z700s. 4.9 for 60 months and 0.9 for 36 months. Some restrictions apply. See Sloan Implement for details. Offer ends 8/2/22. How will you make the most of your mow? Find out at Sloan's today. Powered up with Sloan's.
Here is Nick Smith with your WSOY three-day forecast.
Today's going to be sunny with a high of 78, and tonight mostly clear with a low around 55. For Tuesday, mostly sunny, high near 82, chance of some rain at night. And Wednesday, showers and thunderstorms are likely, mostly cloudy with a high near 78. Current temperature in downtown Decatur, it's 54 degrees. Your WSOY time is 6:33.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
That's Kevin Burhaney right there, circa late 70s, Quincy University.
Hair blowing in the wind?
Probably, looking a little like Jesus.
Is that Boston?
Yeah, it's Boston.
Yeah.
They're going to have a Boston show at the Devon Lakeshore Amphitheater this summer. We're ready to open, right? This weekend?
I think it's this weekend, finally.
Yeah.
Man, weeks are just flying by.
They are. We're getting into Memorial Day really fast, and we're ready to go. Get through the graduations. The Devon will be opening. The Aquatic Center. Memorial Day weekend. So that's like not this weekend, but next, right?
Right.
And we will all go. Good morning. We have a lot to get to here today. I mean a ton. Once again, check out the photo gallery on Nowdecatur's Facebook page. We were without internet service on Saturday.
Oh, no.
Well, no, they've been working on the infrastructure, and it's really great because Xfinity sends me texts, you know, and they let us know what's going on. They let you know when you're back up. But it was weird on Saturday, going a whole...
You had to go outside and do something.
...day, right?
You have cell phone internet, though.
No, we don't. My cell phone is one bar where I live.
Oh, way out there. Fair enough.
And it is not way out there. I'm not like out in the sticks. I just, cell phone service is just not, you know, depending on where you are, it's not enough to run social media apps.
It has regressed in this area a little bit last few years.
Yeah,
for sure.
I don't know why. I picked my server based on downtown because my old service, I would come out of my office and have four voicemails that I didn't get a ring.
Yeah, so, the buildings down here do something.
But everywhere you go, it's so depending on where you are. So Saturday we were just like not able to get into anything.
Did you go on a hike?
No, I did, but I did work around the house and I did, get up and do some stuff, but it was strange because I wanted to see the reaction to our stuff from, like it wasn't even like a need for me to be, Saturday night I got inundated, with all these messages and everything and just thank everyone for the kind words and the nice stuff. But we were literally down. I mean, we were Luddites on Saturday. It was a weird feeling because you do have some anxiety separation issues.
That was good for you.
Okay. I don't know what good came out of it. I mean, it's not like I went to a cabin and like reflected on a pond. It was just sort of, it was weird not being able to just casually check what you want to check.
No, I agree. When I used to go up to Canada fishing for the longest time, once you got out at the post where you fished, you had no service of anything.
Yeah.
And that was a week. And it was like daggers to me because I felt so
out of touch.
Out of touch with my clients. And if they wanted me, you gotta start counting on your support staff to cover for you. But But once they got the internet out there, it sure made things a lot easier to go.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, I told you it had been a couple of days since I got any direct mail, and then I wondered about maybe whether it was the Postal Service or not. I'm pretty sure it was the Postal Service. That was Saturday's mail drop.
You can almost draw little numbers up in the corner with a heart, a diamond, a club, and a spade and start making a deck of cards out of these
things. I could have a full house here four aces. So Darren Bailey got a cash infusion late Friday, I think it was reported. I think it was $2.5 million, which I don't know. You see the Griffin money at play, Kevin. Is anything going to be able to keep up with that money wise?
No.
I don't know. The candidate sort of seems to be imploding, but the money is going to be tough to beat.
Yeah, money isn't everything, but it sure helps.
It's a lot.
Right.
Right. And so when you look at the money that is coming in the direct mail, so this was a Darren Bailey piece. Now, this was interesting because this was just Darren Bailey. I mean, there's no attack of anyone else. It's just, sort of telling you the only candidate to sign the U.S. term limits pledge. Don't even know what that means. They all are for term limits when they get elected. Dan Calkins, just like Bill Mitchell. The same seat, they both vote or promise to, say, here's what we're going to do, and then we're done, and then they act like that never happened.
Was Dick Durbin in favor of term limits ever?
I don't know if I've ever met any Democrat. That's not a Democrat ploy.
No.
That's a Republican ploy.
They're there forever.
Yeah, no. The Democrats are what was it Eddie Murphy said, like luggage or herpes, They're there for life. So supports term limits to prevent career politicians from advancing their own agendas, promotes government transparency, yada, yada, yada. But it was at least a unique piece that it was just saying, hey, here's what I'm for.
Looks good from here.
Yeah. And you got him like sitting at the table mm-hmm. with the sleeves rolled up yeah. and the red tie.
Highlighting key points. Yeah, it's a good yeah. looking piece.
I mean, it's vague, but mm-hmm. but it's not an attack piece on somebody else. A deceiver and a liar. Darren the deceiver, that's the Richard Urban campaign. Sounds like one of the Vikings cast. I love the title, Darren the Deceiver. And so this is Darren Bailey and Jesse Sullivan, too liberal, too phony. The idea that this is A, working, or B, they're going to continue with this message. I mean, it's laughable. And at the end of the day, if this works, it's real easy to blame Richard Urban and Griffin, all the it's easy to blame them. But if you're falling for this stuff, right?
Right.
Where's our responsibility?
That's a good question. I will say this from 25 feet away. That one effectively does what they're trying to do.
I'm not saying that, but effectively they're lying.
I understand that. But
you're being manipulated.
Yeah, but that suggests, if you're being manipulated, it suggests that you have no ability to reach any other conclusion through any other source of information out there.
You know, it's interesting.
That you're just going to believe this postcard that landed in your mailbox.
To Nick's point, it is working, though, to some degree, because I found out firsthand this past week. I'm trying to hold a meet and greet for Jesse Sullivan. And the people that are responding to my invitation are basically saying what those things are saying about him. And I said, no, wait a minute. I mean, the whole purpose to have a meet and greet is you really need to go out and meet these people and ask them specifically about your concerns. Don't believe what you're reading until you hear their answers. And I would say that for Darren Bailey. I'd say that for Urban. I'd say that for Pritzker. You know, don't believe this stuff, the commercials. But you got to kind of hold these negative commercials, the people that are putting them out there responsible for them, because they're doing is saying lying is okay. And so if Urban is responsible for these, then that should go against him or vice versa with anybody else. But I think the only way of knowing who to vote for is you've got to meet the candidate and ask them your own specific questions.
But how many chances do people really get to sort of meet the candidate in all reality, in a gubernatorial race?
I think in that particular, it could be if Kevin asks a similar question, he meets him, and I hear the answer to a question that I may have. It kind of works the same way. I don't. I don't know that it has to be literally shaking their hand, but okay. but hearing them in their words.
But it's also, you guys are acting like there's not this thing called the internet, you know, where I can get all the information I want about anybody out there that's running for office.
No, I mean, we're just saying that that's also another component.
No, no, it's all components. Yeah. But I'm saying if I get this in my mailbox and I don't do any due diligence, I just read and believe, then you're just kind of a National Enquirer gossip information taker, and you really don't care to get the truth.
Yeah, but for example, Jesse Sullivan, you know, they're attacking him about not being a soldier.
Yeah, listen, Kevin, you and I are never probably not going to agree on this because he said way too many stupid things up front that invited this.
He told me firsthand exactly what he did. It didn't sound stupid to me.
I'm not talking about what he did. I'm talking about the way it was purposed at the beginning.
I know,
he
but you're getting that off the internet.
No, no, no. I'm getting that out of his mouth. When he told the Chicago Tribune that he proudly served our nation in uniform, he made statements that were too far. I'm not saying he didn't serve our country. I'm not saying he wasn't over there in danger. He made it, he put the correlation there, probably the advice of somebody who wanted to market this in a way that invited some of this. That doesn't make him a bad guy. Doesn't make him. I'm not doing the whole stolen valor thing. I'm not doing. But part of this was his rookie mistakes in sort of being a candidate and coming in trying.
Maybe,
to.
But what's murky about that point is our country employs people in these spots differently than the traditional old ways of putting soldiers over there.
But you don't, when you say in uniform, you know what that means. I know what that means. Nick knows that what that means. Everybody knows what that means.
Well, all right, but if you're a hired contractor and you're in a uniform,
you're not,
and you're working for the country,
you're working for the U.S., you're not serving in our military.
Did he say he was serving for the military?
I proudly served our nation in uniform. What does that say to you if you've never met somebody?
Well, he probably had a uniform on, and he probably was serving the nation, and he was working for an agency.
That's cutting it. Listen, you do that, and you're open to some of this. That's all. I don't want to get into this whole Jesse Sullivan
argument. But I'm saying people conclusions.
Draw conclusions on what you say.
Ask him about it.
Okay. But that's not a lie. He said that. And there were descriptions of him, that completely were misleading about what you would have thought was that, yes, he was in the U.S. military serving as a soldier. Now, you could say just as dangerous, just as whatever. I'm not arguing any of that. But the distinction was made. It probably wasn't even him. It was probably the people who were handling him and rolling out this campaign that thought that played well to people. But then you're inviting the criticism.
My point is, you go to the Lincoln Day dinner, find a way to meet these people.
I'm not arguing.
And then make your decision.
I'm not arguing that.
I think if you would have him here or you would talk to him privately and ask him specifically about that, you would get a satisfactory answer.
But would the answer be that we botched this at the rollout and we
what is your opinion, Brian?
Well, it's not my opinion. He was in Afghanistan.
He did have a uniform on.
It's not my opinion. They're spending millions of dollars to throw this in this guy's face, and it's working with people.
I know, and their lies. Well, there's a lot of lying going on there.
But when you take a direct quote that he gave, that's not lying.
But there was, okay. You're saying he was lying then?
No, I'm saying he was misleading.
Okay. I still think the fact that the guy was in Afghanistan doing great work for our country.
Then he could have, but why didn't he just say that?
Give him credit for that.
But then why didn't he
make a big deal about this?
Okay, but why didn't he just say that?
Or just say, as a contractor, I was over here doing this service.
Well, he's clarified
it
since.
Yes, after the fact. But when they rolled it out.
Maybe he didn't realize it was going to be so controversial.
Well, that's the rookie part of this.
Okay, I'm not arguing that he probably hasn't made some rookie mistakes. But
all right, we got like eight other pieces of mail to get to here. I don't want to turn this into just the Jesse Sullivan debate. People will make up their own mind.
That was an example. It's not so much about Jesse Sullivan. I don't know Darren Bailey, and I'm not crazy about him, but I'm not going to meet him. And maybe I'd have a different point of view if I met him. So I'm,
that's probably true with everybody we talked about, including J.B. Pritzker. So this one is back to the silliness. And
those disproportionate fat heads.
And they got the glove turned around, like on the wrong hand, the wrong side. Gosh. So this is Darren Bailey and Jesse Sullivan are playing for the wrong team. They got the little baseball shirts on it, say the Democrats across the front.
With Biden and Obama over there.
Yes. And Jesse's got the glove on backwards, like on the wrong hand. And Darren's got a little tiny bat. I mean, all this is intentional. And then on this side, you know, the GOP is the umpire. You're out, you know, with the comic balloon.
Terrible cartoon little. Oh, my gosh, that's bad.
OK, now I will give you something very interesting that Rodney Davis is doing against his opponent, Mary Miller. And they will all, right? I'm sure if Rodney were sitting in there right now, he'd say, well, Brian, you know, it's all fair game. Because this is what they do. But he's now decided he's going to put every picture he can of Mary Miller with a mask on, right? He's going to use this, even though she is like the COVID denier and he is the guy who was reasonable during this whole thing. He's going to flip the script on that one and give you every picture possible with Mary Miller wearing a mask.
And she's in front of a border wall with a big gaping hole.
That's the Sinaloa cartel, you know, right over the other side of that. And she is would leave our border unguarded. Now, say what you want about Mary Miller, and there's plenty to say. She is about as hard line as you're going to find about immigration in this country.
What's on the back of that?
The back of that is Rodney walking along the border, and I assume that's an actual picture. And then Mary Miller, once again, in a mask. Rodney with no mask saying Rodney Davis, the right choice to secure our border. So whatever she's attacking him with, he just turns around and goes, yeah, I know I am, but what are you?
It's a good looking piece, but it's in the mud.
Yeah. And I wonder how much they even have to do with any of this marketing. What was that movie about Wilson or something where the marketing people said, he said, no, this isn't me. This isn't what I believe. He says, look, I'll get you elected. Then you do what you want after you get elected.
That's the problem.
Right.
The ends justify the means. What do they have to do with it? Their name is on it. This is paid for by Rodney for Congress. So at the end of the day, you scoff that, whatever you want to do. But if your name's on it, you are responsible.
And that's the manipulation that I'm talking about.
Yeah. But that's from our buddy. I mean, a guy that I'll proudly vote for. But that's nothing but disingenuous and lying. What he's attacking her for isn't fair because she is not soft on immigration. But if they attack him saying he's soft, he's got to turn around. And then the mask thing's just cracking me up. Black and white, grainy, big hole in the wall. There you have it.
Well, she must have worn it at one point. I don't think
she's required to. These are pictures from her in the chamber. I mean, they were required to.
Yeah, I don't think she'd been wearing that dress down there.
No, on the wall?
No.
She'd wear blue jeans and have that look. Rodney's going, that's a big wall. Then we have more from the Rodney Miller campaign. This coming from Rodney Davis, Mary Miller campaign. This coming from Mary Miller. And once again, she's going all in on the Trumpster. So there's three Polaroids.
Complete and total, I can read from here.
Yes, Mary Miller has President Trump's complete and total endorsement. And then it says, even tells you, in case you don't know, a picture is worth 1,000 words.
She's consistent.
Yep.
The most consistent of all of them.
But her consistency is so vacant. It's like I have nothing I can brag about as far as accomplishments go. I have nothing to brag about as far as anything I've done for my constituency. I have nothing to brag about for anything I actually do in Central Illinois. It is all about a picture is worth 1,000 words. Here I am shaking Donald Trump's hand. Here I am standing in the office and here I am. In Mar-a-Lago, you know, with my husband grinning like they're meeting the Beatles.
On the back, does she do her typical bullet points?
We'll fight for term limits. We'll stop election fraud. We'll stand up to the socialist Green New Deal. We'll put American taxpayers first. American taxpayers, not 15th Congressional District, Central Illinois. She's fighting the national fight, as is Marjorie Taylor Greene and several in the party. They're not about going there and serving their district in Georgia or going there and serving their district in Illinois. They're about doing the national politics.
It happens a lot in Washington, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
She reminds me of a baseball player up to bat that has squared up to bunt. like, this is what I'm doing. I'm staying true to exactly this. It's not going to go over the wall, but this is what I'm doing.
But what she's doing is, I'm doing this, but she's letting Club for Growth attack Rodney Davis in her name.
Yeah, and when you look at a track record like Rodney Davis, he's always represented his district. I mean, when you look at the committees he's on, agriculture, transportation, I mean, he's there fighting for his district.
Yep. And it's why he got the Fraternal Order of Police endorsement heading into the weekend, and she got CPAC's endorsement.
That's what I don't understand about his campaign. I mean, I understand the nature of the game, but he has a resume. He has actual, I mean, like, he but, can right, sit but, there but, and just but, smack her
but,
with
but
it.
But here, okay, and it's a good point, and we need to take a break. I'll come back with that because I have thoughts about that. And that is Republican primary voters. Do you want, I mean, I don't know that they want that. I think all they want is the red meat. All they want to do is scream and yell. All they want to do is go Trump, Trump, Trump.
Yeah, you got
to
read the audience.
Because that's what they're doing. I mean, it's not my opinion. That's what every race is showing me.
Right?
No one wants to talk about any of the issues. Nobody cares about the issues. We'll be back. Here's Nick with your three-day forecast.
Today's going to be sunny with a high near 78. Tonight, mostly clear, low around 55. For Tuesday, mostly sunny, high near 82 and chance of nighttime rain. Wednesday, showers and thunderstorms likely, mostly cloudy with a high of 78. Current temperature in downtown Decatur, 54 degrees. Your WSOY time, 6:53.
Judge Rodney Forbes, trusted, proven, experienced. Judge Rodney Forbes grew up and has worked his entire life in Macon County. Republican Judge Rodney Forbes now needs your vote. He's running for Macon County Circuit Judge and is the only candidate with proven courtroom experience on the bench. Judge Rodney Forbes, the best choice for Macon County Circuit Judge.
I'm Judge Rodney Forbes, and I approve this message.
Paid for by the committee to elect Judge Forbes.
Steve McClure for State Senate. Hardworking, conservative, fighting for us.
A fiscal conservative, McClure understands how taxes hurt working families.
That's why McClure fought the graduated income tax hike and is working to cut reckless spending at the state capitol.
As a prosecutor, Steve McClure has seen firsthand how crime hurts communities.
McClure led the fight against Chicago Democrats who are pushing to weaken criminal justice laws, laws which protect families.
McClure stopped dangerous liberals trying to defund the police because Steve McClure supports law enforcement.
A conservative Republican, McClure is a strong proponent of Second Amendment rights.
We can count on Steve McClure to stick up for families and stand up for our values.
Steve McClure, the best choice in the Republican primary.
McClure for State Senate, the conservative Republican we need.
Paid for by friends of Steve McClure.
The Beach House, now open for lunch. Stop in and enjoy seafood, steak, wine, cocktails, salads, sandwiches, drinks, and high-quality food. The Beach House is ready for you. Enjoy an amazing lunch or dinner overlooking beautiful Lake Decatur. You won't find a better atmosphere, view, staff, or food. The Beach House, located at 2301 East Lakeshore Drive, overlooking beautiful Lake Decatur. Stop in for lunch and see why everyone loves the Beach House.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
We're back here on a, what is today? Monday. Soy City Buzz tonight at 5 o'clock. Who's on the guest list?
We got a good show tonight. Mike Claiborne's going to be on. I didn't know this until this weekend, but he's got a new podcast to where he's going to be interviewing umpire Joe West, a 40-year veteran who just retired, about baseball stories.
Okay.
And I listened to one of them, and it was really good. He had Mark Grace on there with him. And boy, the stories they told, if you're a Cub fan, you ought to listen to that podcast. So I'll talk to him about that. Jason Albright is going to be on tonight, talk about the Children's Museum. Shane Mendenhall will be on tonight. He's running for a judge. And David Fletcher, you had him on your show. He's got that new book out, Chili Dog MVP. And it's all about Chicago White Sox, Dick Allen.
Yeah.
So that's the show tonight.
He was lobbying for Dick Allen to get into the Hall of Fame, and he did not get that honor this last go-around. But he's a big advocate.
He is, I guess. I mean, I'm not, you know, Bob Weissman and Bob Flider are big White Sox fans. And evidently, Dr. Fletcher's too. Those are the only three people I know.
That are White Sox fans? Yeah. Dick Allen was huge when I was a kid.
He was. I remember him now. I forgot about him. But after I looked through the book, it's really interesting.
All right. You should check it out. By the way, I'm going to hold that off for a little bit because we don't have time. When you host this thing on Friday, is that right? Friday for Jesse Sullivan?
Uh-huh.
What is it that you're seeing in him that is, and we've only got a couple minutes, I don't want to turn this into a long debate. He's clearly not in the top two in this race, although he must be top three or perceived to be top three just by the way the other campaigns are operating in their messaging. What is it, you know, underdog probably doesn't have a chance. Are you behind this guy?
For the very reasons I was talking about before I met him, and I've talked to him on three different occasions now, I believe, I mean, as much as you can know about somebody after about 3 hours of conversation, I believe him to be totally honest. I believe him to have great morals. I believe that he is doing it for all the right reasons. I like that he's a from Central Illinois. He's not a part of that machine. And, you know, I don't know everything there is to know about him, but I like what I've heard and seen, whether he's an underdog or he's way ahead.
Well, he's not way ahead.
I know he's not, Brian. He's third, okay? But, you know, I'm sticking by my values, and I like his values, and they match up.
All right. Fair enough.
I hope and I'm going to do what I can to get people to meet him like I did for free. It's not a fundraiser. And make your own mind up.
All right. Kevin, we appreciate it. We'll see you tonight at 5:00. Kevin Berhaney and Soy City Buzz on First Mid Mondays. You can hear it live at 5 tonight, or you can listen to the podcast at nowdecatur.com.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.